In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. And let the children come to me. How are you today? How are you today?
Good.
Good? Very good. Now last Sunday, we have a few more coming. Last Sunday, I promised to you that in my sermons, I'll try to teach you about God. And I want to keep my word. I want to teach you about God today. And I want to introduce to you today somebody who I'm sure you've heard of. Somebody who came into this world to present God to us, to show God to us. Do you have any idea who I'm talking about?
Jesus.
Can you show me Jesus in an icon here in the church? Where is he?
Right there.
Right there. And right there.
And right there.
And right there. And right there. And almost everywhere. Because God is everywhere. Yeah, and right there. He's our Lord and God and Savior. We have him here in this icon as a baby and in this icon as an adult. At his first coming as a baby and at his second coming in glory. Now, as I told you, we'll talk about Jesus, for the next few Sundays. For today, I just want to introduce him to you. Now, when you meet somebody, what do you do when you meet somebody? What do you do?
Hi.
You say hi, and then what do you say? Campbell, what do you say?
You say what your name is.
Hi, my name is Father Cosmin. Hi, my name is Father Cosmin. What's your name?
I know that.
Very good, Gabriel, but thank you for getting into my game. So, I want to introduce our Lord Jesus Christ to you today. If Jesus comes to you today, he will tell you, "Hello, hi, my name is Jesus Christ." Do you know the meaning of his name? Do you know what the name Jesus means? That was his name. The name that he received from his parents, from Mary and from his adoptive father, Joseph. They named him Jesus because the archangel told them to name the baby Jesus. So, do you know the meaning of the name Jesus? Do you know the meaning of your names?
Yes.
Can you tell me the meaning of your names, some of you? What's the meaning of your name, Anna? What's the meaning of your name? The grace of God. Anna comes from Hannah, from the Hebrew name Hannah, and Hannah means the grace of God. Anybody else? What's the meaning of your name, Sophia?
Wisdom.
Elizabeth means? Yeah, she was Mary's aunt. I don't really know the meaning of the name. We should look it up. Elizabeth. Does anybody know what Elizabeth means? We should look it up. I'm sure it has a meaning. Anybody else? My name, Cosmin, comes from cosmos, from universe. Yeah? So, the meaning of the name Jesus, the English name Jesus, comes from the Greek name Isus, which comes from the Hebrew name Yeshua or Yehoshua. That was his Hebrew name. You know that he was born in the nation of the Jews, of the Hebrews. So, and in Hebrew, the name Yeshua means God saves. That's what Yeshua means. Now the name, as I told you, the name Yeshua became Isus in Greek, and then in English became Jesus. So what's the meaning of the name of Jesus? God saves, because there is power in his name, and we are saved in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was named Jesus. So that was like his first name. And then, during his life, he received a nickname. Christ is not his last name or family name. Christ is like his nickname. Do you know the meaning of the name Christ or the nickname Christ? Do you? Do you know the meaning of the name Christ? Christ, again, the English name or the English word Christ comes from the Greek word Christos. And Christos is the translation of the Hebrew word Mashiach. And Mashiach in Hebrew means the anointed one. Because our Lord Jesus Christ was anointed to be the Savior, to be the Savior of the universe. So, if somebody comes to you and asks you, what's the meaning of the name Jesus? What do you tell that person? What's the meaning of the name Jesus? God saves. What's the meaning of the name Christos? Or Christos, or Christ. Christos, Christ. The anointed one. You know what to anoint means? to pour oil on somebody's forehead. And you know, you were anointed. All of us were baptized and chrismated in the Orthodox Church. We're anointed with oil to become priests and kings of God's creation. Do you have any idea when you were anointed to become like Christ, to become a Christian? And by the way, the name Christ the word Christian comes from Christ, because all of us are called to be like Jesus Christ. Do you have any idea when you were anointed to be like Christ? More specifically, so when you're baptized, and more specifically, when you were
chrismated.
Yes, as part of the service of baptism, or as a separate service, we were chrismated, anointed with holy oil to be like Christ, to be healers, because oil heals. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to heal the entire humanity, and like him, we are called to be a healing presence. Do you have any idea what it means, to be a healing presence for other people?
Like a person that heals people.
Like a person that heals other people. That's what our Lord Jesus Christ came to do for us, to heal us, and that's what we are called to do, like little Christs. Do you want to be like Christ? Then when somebody is suffering next to you, did it happen to you that somebody was hurt next to you? You could say, I don't care about you. I don't want to know about your pain. Or you could go and ask that person, what happened? Why are you crying? Could I help you with anything? And if you could, help that person with something. And then you'll be like Christ. You'll heal that person. We'll talk more about our Lord Jesus Christ next Sunday. Okay? Thank you very much. God bless you. Christ is among us. Beloved faithful, last Sunday we started to talk about vision, about having a vision for ourselves, starting from the verse in the book of Proverbs, verse 18 from chapter 29, where there is no vision, people perish. And I promised you last Sunday that today we'll talk about institutional vision, because we have a personal vision for ourselves. And also, nations, organizations, institutions have a vision. Now, because I'm a priest, I won't speak today about the vision of the American nation, because I'm not an American citizen yet, so I'm just trying to find out what's the vision of the American nation. I'll speak to you today about what I know. I'll speak to you today about the vision of the Orthodox Church. Now, the vision of the Orthodox Church is revealed to us from the very beginning
of the Holy Liturgy. The Holy Liturgy is the quintessential, is the most important service of the Orthodox Church. And the Holy Liturgy, in the beginning of the Holy Liturgy, we say, "Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto the ages of ages," and you say, "Amen." This is our vision. The kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's our destination. That's our vision, and that's what we try to implement here on earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, and when he began his preaching by saying, "Repent, Netanya, change your mind, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." You could experience the kingdom of heaven if you change your mind. You can experience the kingdom of heaven here and now. That's why the church, in the very beginning of the Holy Liturgy, says, "Blessed is the kingdom of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," and tries to transpose us into the kingdom of heaven and to remind us that our role here on earth is to be little Christs, as I told the children. Our role here on earth is to be like Christ and to go out into the world and to tell the world, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Our role is to transpose the kingdom of heaven on earth. This is why, since the beginning of Christianity, Christians had places of worship. This is why, since the beginning of Christianity, the church was placed in the very middle of the community, and the life of the whole village, the life of the whole city, the life of the whole community was gravitating around the church. This is why until today, if you go to a monastery, you'll see the monastery in the very middle of the property. The monastery church, I should say, in the very middle of that property. And then the so-called cells of the monks or the nuns built around the church. Because the understanding of the Orthodox Church is that we transpose the kingdom of God into our place of worship. And then our church, our place of worship, becomes a center for radiating the kingdom of God into the world. This is the vision of the church, to transpose the kingdom of God within us, within our church, and then to take it to the outside of the church. That's why, at the end of the Holy Liturgy, just before the dismissal, the priest says, "Let us go forth in peace." Because what we took in the liturgy, now we are called to give to the world. This is what is revealed to us by our Lord Jesus Christ so many times in the Gospels. And what I want to bring to your attention today is just the parable of the Good Samaritan. When the Good Samaritan took that man that was wounded by the thieves, took that wounded humanity, the Good Samaritan who stands for our Lord Jesus Christ, who represents our Lord Jesus Christ, took the wounded humanity and to an inn and gave money to the innkeeper to look after that wounded man until his second coming. That inn is nothing else but the church. The church is this spiritual hospital where our Lord Jesus Christ asks us to bring in the people who are wounded, to heal them until he comes at his second coming. Another thing that I want to point out to you today is that any vision, and we know this, when we have a vision, when we want, you know, to do something, when we want to do something great, that requires a sacrifice. Without a sacrifice, we cannot fulfill our vision. And this is expressed very clearly by St. Paul in the letter to Philippians when he says in chapter 2, "Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In order to implement this vision, we have to have the same mindset that our Lord Jesus Christ had, who did not look at his own interests, but the interests of humanity. And St. Paul asked us to have the same mindset. And then he says, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. If we offer ourselves, if we sacrifice ourselves, God will give us a name. Do you want the Orthodox Church in this city to have a name? I'm asking you today, do you? Do you want this community to have a name? Do you want to put this church on the map of this city? By the grace of God, you put this church on the map of this city. Everybody knows now where this church building is, because it is beautiful. But that's not enough. That's just the beginning. We need a beautiful church because we want to transpose the kingdom of God into the church. We want to transpose the kingdom of God within us, but then we have to take it outside of the church. I ask you today to embrace this vision of the Orthodox Church. I ask you today to embrace this vision that the church had and worked for 2,000 years, and to implement it in our community. Because that's another thing about having a vision. You know, the big difference between having a vision and daydreaming is that a vision could be realized. If we are talking about, you know, the vision of the Orthodox Church in America, we are talking too much. We can't really do very much about the vision of the Orthodox Church in North America. We have bishops and metropolitans who are working on that. But what we could do, we could transpose this vision of the church in our community. We could transpose the kingdom of heaven within our community and then to take it to the outside of the community. I ask you today to embrace this vision, to make the sacrifices that we have to make, so that we'll give the kingdom of heaven to this world now and forever. Amen. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.